Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So if you're doing any amount of online shopping or maybe handling finances for your parents or even just managing your kids' allowance on an app, this Deep Dive is definitely for you.
It really is.
We are getting into the deep end of financial cybersecurity for, well, the modern family.
Yeah, and it's absolutely essential. I mean, for most of us, online banking and shopping, it's all become so seamless. It's genuinely as natural as turning on the lights.
It is. That convenience is king.
It's the reigning champion, for sure.
But that convenience, I think, has created a bit of a blind spot for us, hasn't it? We've sort of normalized putting our most sensitive information out there without hitting that pause button.
We have.
We dove into the sources you sent over, and the mission here seems really clear. We are not trying to create panic. This is about empowerment.
That's the key distinction. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The sources all emphasize that the goal is, it's about clarity and a sense of calm in this digital world.
Right.
We're just focused on pulling out those simple, consistent things you can do to protect the whole household, you know, from your tech-savvy teen all the way to your maybe more cautious parents.
I really appreciate that framing, because it's not just about guarding your bank account number, is it? It's about what the sources call safeguarding your family's peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that distinction so important?
Because the risk, it's not just about losing money. It's about losing time, losing trust, and, you know, your emotional stability.
Sure.
Dealing with fraud or identity theft is just tremendously stressful. So if we can build these basic habits, we can get rid of that sort of low hum of anxiety in the background. We're replacing fear with confidence.
That makes the stakes very real. And the big takeaway from the sources really sets that tone. It says financial safety starts with just a simple action. A pause.
Yeah.
Slow down, verify, and then protect what matters.
Precisely. And if we're going to use that pause effectively, we need to know what we're looking for. Because, you know, financial fraud, it doesn't look like a Hollywood movie hack.
Okay, so let's unpack that. What does financial risk actually look like for the average person, especially when they're, you know, busy, rushed?
It usually starts really quietly. A small error, clicking the wrong link, maybe a moment of just rushing that overrides your good judgment. The sources point to three main risks that families face every single day.
Okay, so let's start where a lot of the fraud happens, right in the virtual storefront. What's the biggest trap there?
It's the fake websites, the imposter e-commerce stores.
Yeah.
And these scammers, they are incredibly sophisticated now.
They don't look like they were built in someone's basement anymore.
Not at all. They design sites that look completely legitimate, and they target everyone, the busy adult looking for a deal, the kid wanting a discounted game.
And they hook you with that one thing we can't resist, right? The too good to be true sale.
Exactly. But the good news is the sources give us a fantastic, like an instant checklist to filter out the fakes. You don't have to be a tech genius.
Okay.
You just need to run through five simple checks.
Give us the first two signs we should look for on a new site.
First, just listen to that little voice in your head that's telling you the price is just impossibly low.
Right. 80% off something that never goes on sale.
That's bait. And second, look very, very closely at the site's address, the URL. Fraudulent sites often have tiny spelling changes, maybe an extra hyphen or a .net instead of a .com.
So first, check your own greed and then check their spelling. Yep. What about customer service?
That's the third sign. Legitimate businesses want you to be able to contact them. If there's no phone number you can easily find or the contact email is buried, that's a red flag.
They don't want you calling when the package never shows up.
Exactly. And the last two are all about the payment process itself.
Okay.
Fourth, check the payment methods. If they only take credit cards directly or e-transfers and they're missing trusted options like PayPal or Apple Pay, that's suspicious.
They just want your raw data.
They want the numbers immediately. And fifth, and this is crucial, look for a physical address or a clear, detailed return policy. Scam sites are designed to just vanish.
That's a powerful toolkit right there. Okay, so moving beyond the transaction itself. The second big risk is identity theft. We spend so much time protecting our card number, but we forget the bigger picture.
We really do. Mm-hmm. The sources remind us that cybercriminals, they don't always need the full 16 digits. They just need a few key pieces of information. Your birthday, an old address, a password you reused from a breached site.
And what's the worst case scenario with just a few of those pieces?
Well, they can use those fragments to try to reset your passwords. They can apply for credit in your name or take over your bank account entirely.
Wow.
And for vulnerable people, especially elders who might not check their accounts online every day, This can be devastating. Yeah. The damage can just compound for weeks before anyone even notices.
That makes prevention so much more critical. Okay, so the third risk is something I think almost everyone listening has probably done without thinking twice: connecting to public Wi-Fi.
Yes. The public Wi-Fi risk is just, it's everywhere. The airport, a coffee shop, your hotel, these networks are inherently unsecured.
But if I'm just quickly checking my balance, what's the actual danger?
The danger is that your data traffic is often unencrypted. It's basically open for anyone else on that network to intercept with some pretty basic tools.
So they can just see your login details?
They can see your login details, or even worse, they can redirect you to a fake, spoofed banking page that looks totally real.
Yeah.
And then you just hand over your credentials.
So what's the absolute non-negotiable rule here?
The crucial rule is this, and we have to hammer it home. Never, ever conduct financial transactions on public Wi-Fi, not even a quick balance check. A secure connection is the foundation.
Use your phone's hotspot instead.
Always. It's far, far safer than that free airport Wi-Fi.
Okay, that brings us perfectly into the solutions, the empowerment section. We know the traps. Now let's talk habits. The sources make a strong case that it's not about perfection, it's about consistency.
Consistency is everything. Small, steady habits beat complex, unused tools every single time. And there are three practices you can implement today that will give you the biggest protective impact.
And the very first habit is all about visibility, knowing the instant something is off. We're talking about turning on alerts.
Yes. They are your digital early warning system. The sources use a great analogy. They call them smoke detectors for your money.
I like that.
You should enable notifications not just for big purchases, but for login attempts, for transfers, for anything that seems unusual.
And the benefit here goes beyond just you, right? This helps the whole household. I'm thinking of my parents, who don't log into their bank portal daily. A simple text alert about a weird transfer means they can call someone immediately,
instead of finding out a month later on a paper statement. Our second practice is, well, it's arguably the single most effective step you can take. Use multi-factor authentication, MFA.
It's non-negotiable.
Totally non-negotiable.
We hear the term MFA constantly. For anyone who might still be skipping it, break it down. What is it, and why does it make a stolen password useless?
MFA just adds a second step, a second factor to prove you're you. So after your password, you need something else, usually a code sent to your phone or a tap on an app.
Got it.
So even if a scammer tricks you and gets your password, they still can't get in because they don't have your physical phone to get that code. It is a massive barrier.
It's such an easy thing to set up for such a huge return. If you do one thing after this deep dive, enable MFA everywhere you can.
Absolutely. And practice number three circles right back to where we started. Mm-hmm. Keep your connection secure. Be intentional about where you do your financial business.
So what qualifies as a secure connection?
It's defined by control. So your home Wi-Fi, as long as you've set a strong, unique password for the router, or the best option when you're out, your phone's mobile hotspot.
And the networks to avoid.
Again, public Wi-Fi, shared computers, like in a library or a hotel business center, or even borrowed devices. If it's sensitive, stick to a network you trust and control.
Now we get to what might be the hardest part, getting the whole family on the same page, because this kind of literacy, you have to share it. You can't just assume everyone knows this stuff.
It's a shared responsibility, truly.
Yeah.
And we have two groups that need very patient, tailored guidance.
Hmm.
Our elders and our youth.
Let's start with guiding our seniors. They have a lifetime of experience, but they are so vulnerable to these new digital tricks because the methods are just unfamiliar.
Patience and repetition are so key here. Instead of overwhelming them with tech talk, we teach simple, defensive habits. For instance, teach them to just skip clicking links in emails altogether.
Just type the website in manually.
Type the URL for their bank or favorite store right into the browser. It immediately cuts off the biggest phishing threat.
That's a great tip.
And help them set up bookmarks for those sites. Also, just encourage communication. Ask them to check with you before making a big online purchase that just popped up in an ad.
And what's the psychological defense we can give them against those urgent-sounding scams?
The sources have this one brilliant key phrase. Teach them this. Your bank will never pressure you, rush you, or scare you.
That's such a simple shield. It takes away the attacker's main weapon, which is panic.
It is. If someone's telling you your account will be shut down in 5 minutes unless you click a link,
that's your cue to hang up.
Exactly. Or delete the message. It breaks the whole scam.
Okay, on the other end of the spectrum, you have kids and teens. Digitally native, they shop constantly. Games, clothes, subscriptions. They're targeted all day by ads and influencers.
Yeah, and the goal here isn't restriction. It's about shaping responsible digital money habits early on. We have to teach them, fundamentally. Never enter card details without permission.
Not even for a 99-cent in-game purchase.
Especially not then. And they need to develop a critical eye. Learn to be skeptical of free giveaways, to check reviews on third-party sites, and to understand that free is almost never really free.
You're teaching them to ask, why is this person trying to give me this?
You got it. It builds that fundamental literacy they'll need for the rest of their lives.
Now, to make all this stick, the sources wisely included some stories, some cautionary tales.
Yeah, these are the examples that become teaching tools.
Let's run through them. They really bring the risks to life. The goal is to recognize the scam before it happens.
First up, the unbelievable sale. A teen sees those must-have sneakers for, like, 80% off on a brand new site. It's a holiday sale. The site looks professional. They rush the purchase.
And the shoes never arrive.
Never arrives. And the card they used is later compromised. The lesson is that seasonal rush is designed to bypass your logic. Always verify the seller.
Okay, story number two is more psychological. The fake banking alert. An elder gets a text that says their account is locked. It creates instant panic. They click the link to unlock it.
And in doing so, they just hand over their login details to a criminal. The lesson, again, your bank will never send you a link to verify information. Never. Call them directly or use your bookmark.
And the last one is the convenience trap, the public Wi-Fi trap. A parent is traveling, stressed, waiting for a flight. They quickly log into their banking app at the gate.
And their connection is intercepted by a hacker on that same public network. The lesson is simple, but absolute. Public Wi-Fi is never safe for your money. Use your hotspot. It's worth the data.
These stories really help. They help you recognize the patterns before you become a victim. I think the big takeaway is that a secure purchase is never a rushed one.
Exactly. Confidence online comes from those small, steady habits.
Which brings us to our synthesis. Let's pull all this into a final checklist. We need to move from just knowing this stuff to making it second nature, you know, like locking the front door.
Okay, let's review the simple habits. First, bookmark your official banking and shopping sites. Go there directly. Don't just Google it every time. Second, enable MFA on all financial accounts. That's your non-negotiable.
Third, use virtual cards when you can. It's a temporary number, so if the retailer gets breached, your actual card is safe. It's a great layer of protection.
And visually, always look to that little padlock icon in the URL bar. It means the connection is HTTPS. It's encrypted and secure.
And monitoring is key. Check your statements weekly, not monthly. Especially during busy shopping seasons when it's easy to forget small purchases. You'll catch any problems within days.
Mm-hmm. And keep talking. Discuss purchases with your kids and your parents, including why some offers are good and others are suspicious. And practically, try to avoid storing your card details on a dozen different websites.
Because every one of those is a potential breach point.
It is. And finally, the bedrock stuff. Use strong, unique passwords. Please use a password manager. And always keep your devices and your apps updated. Those updates have critical security patches.
It's such a practical, actionable plan. It really shows that financial literacy plus good cybersecurity, that equals peace of mind.
That's the equation.
And that's what we want you to take away. Online banking and shopping, they are the default now. They aren't going anywhere. But with the right knowledge and these habits, you can absolutely enjoy the convenience without sacrificing safety.
And it really is a shared family responsibility. When we teach our kids, support our elders, and strengthen our own habits, we're just creating safer households and stronger communities.
The sources put a huge emphasis on making these practices routine, just like locking the front door. So let me leave you with a final thought to consider. If security needs to become second nature, what specific system could you implement this week? Maybe a shared family password manager to get everyone on MFA, or maybe designating one clean device for all financial stuff to ensure these practices aren't just for a busy season, but become permanent, protecting and empowering your family for tomorrow.